But let me intro this by talking about a guest we had yesterday. He was a captain in the Army. His name was Captain Eric May. He came on yesterday and called a red alert about the next nuclear attack in our country. And he pinpointed a couple areas, and I'll get to that in a minute. But let me take this story back to its roots, where it began, and not its roots, but to the first signs that there may be a nuclear blast on the American soil. Back in August, I was covering a story regarding Dick Cheney and his strategic orders given to STRATCOM, Strategic Command, and he specifically gave orders to them to put in place a plan to nuke Iran. And now get this, folks, if there is a terrorist attack on American soil. Now, basically, how they can, say that Iran caused that attack is beyond me. And why Iran was targeted, we know why, because of what's going on again now. But anyway, it opened up an interesting situation, because back at that time in August, there was a nuclear exercise going on or being planned for the Charleston, South Carolina area, Fort Monroe. And it was going to be a nuclear exercise headed up by a General Kevin P. Burns of TRADOC. And that is the group there, the training group in Charleston, in Fort Monroe. And they were going to stage a simulated nuclear attack on an American city with a very large nuclear weapon that could wipe out an American city. So basically, that's what was going on. Well, I had sources back then who said, basically what happened right before this this planned exercise, General Burns was fired. And that was a historic firing, because he was a four-star general. And it's only happened a few times in the history of our country where a four-star general has been let go. Well, I had some sources tell me that Burns was privy to the fact that this attack may have gone live without him knowing. And he backed out and was going to sound the alarm when they got rid of him. Now, since then, Burns has gone undercover. No one's heard from him. I've talked to his, tried to talk to his lawyer, and they are very close-mouthed about the story. Secondly, what happens, other sources were then saying that Burns didn't keep a lid on the nuclear plans that were going to be either going off in South Carolina or other places, using South Carolina as a diversion. And they got angered because the leak got out, and there were some people in the military who were now forming a coup to stop this from happening. Now, what they were trying to do is stop the nuclear attack from occurring. Now, you look at it either way. Either Burns knew about it or didn't know about it. He's gone, a four-star general, so something was up. And some of these sources are very solid down there that I was talking to. And then in other areas came the story of Captain Eric May, who was on yesterday. And I'm going to get to that and my guest, who's a resident of Texas City, Texas, under a red alert, according to Captain May, for an imminent nuclear threat. We'll be back. The enemy here is the enemy within our own government that we've neglected, we've allowed to take over a period of 30 to 40 years, maybe even longer. These plans of the New World Order are now being stepped up. By the way, they're behind schedule. This was supposed to happen around the year 2000, but now, since 9/11, we're moving on a fast track towards oblivion if we don't wake up. And that's why I had Captain Eric May on yesterday. And there are many people, whether you heed Captain May's warnings or not, one thing for sure is we have to be alert in almost every city now and watch out for what's happening. And I mean any kind of strange movements, any kind of people leaving that you normally don't see there, anything weird, keep an eye out, because we don't know where these corrupt people are going to hit next, but we are sure they are, because every terrorist attack has seemed to be escalated from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to New York City, New York, and now where's the next one? So with that in mind, what I wanted to mention was we talked about what happened in last August with the training sessions in South Carolina going on, the nuclear training sessions in South Carolina, the Cheney command order to nuke Iran. Now it's back again. It's almost like deja vu. Here we are again on January 31st. TRADOC, now under the command of General William S. Wallace, who's replaced Burns, is having another three-day nuclear exercise going on at Fort Monroe, off the South Carolina Charleston coast, again simulating a nuclear attack on a major American city. And what does that say? Well, you hear in the background, Cheney again, the orders still stand as far as the as far as nuking Iran. We've heard that in the news, that America is going to nuke Iran. It's imminent. Iran is now stated by March they're no longer going to use the dollar, similar to what Iraq said. So we have that. We have Osama bin Laden coming out, and now whether it is Osama or not, whether he's just a Bush spokesman, which many people think, here's another warning that something is going to happen, because Americans, listen, we're going to be attacked. That's what Osama said. Now, whether you believe it's Osama or not, and I don't believe it was him, I believe it's the American government putting fear in our minds and letting us know that this is going to happen. We get Captain Mahon, who's been fighting the Illuminati, fighting the Bush cabal for years now, trying to use some of his methods to figure out what they're going to do and stop the next attack. Now, Captain May came out in July and August, right around the time of STRATCOM and those plans around the nuclear attack in South Carolina. He came out and stated that there was a possibility that this was going to happen in Texas City, Texas during that time, and that South Carolina was a diversion. Well, he put out, I mean, this guy is a former media worker. He's worked, he's written for the Chronicle. He's a very well-respected intel officer with the Army. Came out and gave this warning. Now, whether you believe it or not, it's something you got to think about. And we had him on yesterday, and he was talking about some very interesting things about his about the embedded code that he has now uncovered, and how it kind of leads him to believe that there's an imminent attack on Texas City, Texas, in the next 9 or 10 days. Now, whether this goes off or not, it's caused some people some concern. And we have a gentleman on, John Watkins from Texas City. Are you there?
Yes, Greg.
Yeah, you are very concerned about this. Called and said you were now, you know, when this last alert came out on 7/28, you said some weird things were happening there. Tell us about that back in July.
Well, when, you know, I was going to comment about that yesterday, and I did briefly, but when Eric mentioned about all that light show that was going on about 9 o'clock that night, well, I do CB radio, ham radio, and of course listen to shortwave. Well, that night, I mean, matter of fact, I distinctly remember shutting off my radio because there's so much static and noise and all that, but I didn't know what it was at the time. You know, we have that periodically. You have to forgive me. I'm running on adrenaline right now, as you can imagine.
Don't worry. Just calm down. Just calm down.
Yeah, and then to say something, since we talked this morning, I found out some more pertinent information. I've stirred up a hornet's nest down here, apparently. But getting back to that, well, I noticed the you know, a lot of static, and probably 2 days after that, you know, you couldn't listen on the radio, or kind of, you know, even hardly talk across town on CB radio. And I just attributed it to the fact, you know, that, you know, weird atmospheric conditions was going on. But now that he said that, I understand now why that was happening.
Huh. So. And that went on for a couple days down there, right?
Yeah. When you ionize the atmosphere, you have all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, I was hearing real close what we call skip. Some of your ham operators can vouch for that, you know, the weird stuff going on. But that's about the gist of that.
Now, we're going to go into a break here, but just quickly, tell us where Texas City is located, and what church you take real quick.
Okay.
You there?
I'm here.
Hey, let me do this, John. I misspoke here. I got a break coming up. We'll get to that question on the other side of this break with John Watkins from Texas City, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Okay, we're talking to John Watkins, a resident of Texas City, Texas. John, for our listeners all over the country who may not know what your city's like, explain it to us, where you're located. Give us a little bit of a flavor of what your city's like. Go ahead.
Well, Texas City is right on Galveston Bay. We're right on the Gulf Coast. We're about 30 miles to the south of downtown Houston, right down Interstate 45. If somebody's looking at a map or trying to find where it is. Galveston, Texas is a well-known area down here. They are probably, well, about a mile as the crow flies from where I'm standing right now, about a 15-mile drive if you go, you know, by road. But it's we're right on Galveston Bay. Matter of fact, it's a bright, sunshiny day, and I'm looking up in the sky right now looking at some chemtrails being left. But other than that, it's a pretty nice town. It's about 75 degrees right now. We're doing well so far.
Yeah, you see those too. I was amazed when I came to Idaho, northern Idaho. I was looking up in the sky, and I said, and that's before the cloud cover hit for the winter. How many of these white airplanes were up there with all these chemtrails? I'd come back from Spokane then, and it was just like a cloudy day, and I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Well, anyway, that's another story for another time. Yesterday, you listened to Captain May talk about how he may have thwarted that possible attack on Texas City at the British Petroleum plant in July, and then he was talking about maybe them doing it again. You were concerned. What did you think about what he had to say yesterday?
Well, knowing what I know about the government, what they have done, of course, on 9/11, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that 9/11 was, you know, they carried out whoever it would be, CIA, FBI, Mossad, MI5, MI6, you know, whoever did it, you know, that, I mean, I've been investigating this and of course, listening to your show every day and everybody else, compiling my own information, researching, putting up my own websites, trying to inform people, you know, it really scared me because when you come on at the beginning of the show and said something about Texas City, my heart leaped in my throat. And let me give you a little background as to the reason why. For the last year and a half, I've been wanting to get out of here ever since I found out about 9/11 and all the corruption that's been going on. In emails, I have, you know, I even offered you to take up a spot on the land that I was probably fixing to get. Well, I always wonder, I'm having trouble closing on this land, and I knew that there was, I'm a Christian, I knew that there was a reason why God was putting this off. Well, yesterday, when I heard what Eric May had to say, I knew why I'm still here. It's God's timing. There was a reason for me to be here to raise what I call holy hell. I'm raising the biggest kind of stink I can about what is fixing to go on. Apparently, I've done enough of it since last night after downloading your program from yesterday and giving it to a officer friend of mine in the Texas City Police Department.
Now, you said you stir up a hornet's nest down there in the last day or so. What do you mean by that?
Well, Greg, since I talked to you this morning, I went to the Texas City Police Department.
Okay.
I've got a friend of mine is the head of the detectives, Sergeant Brian Gotches. And also we have a Homeland Security officer down here by the name of Bruce Clarkson. And I went to talk to them, too. Well, Detective Gotches is... his son is having surgery, so I wasn't able to talk to him. And in the meantime, I'm sitting there, Greg, and, I mean, this is the weird part. I'm sitting there waiting for, you know, this sergeant to come out to talk to him, to explain what's going on, to give him the information. And as I'm standing there at the desk sergeant is talking on the phone, say, telling them, well, no, he's not here. They're out on SWAT exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so my ears start perking up. You know, and while they're doing their thing, I'm looking around and, you know, kind of eavesdropping a little bit. And when the sergeant comes out, he takes all my information. I explain to him what's going on. Okay.
Right.
And I figure, well, he's going to go in the back. They're going to come out here and they're going to slap some cuffs on me. Well, I went outside and I immediately called Eric May because me and him have been talking most of the morning.
Okay.
And, you know, he's kind of telling me, you know, advising me what to do, you know, who to call and who to contact and all this. So as I'm talking to him, I'm counting police cars in the Texas City Police Department parking lot that I could see was 11 different police cars from 11 different agencies.
Wow. Is that normal?
No. Okay. As a matter of fact, I just made a comment to my friend Mike Salt. He works for me. And I said, Mike, I said, do you remember the other day when we were driving down the road there? And I said, what is a Hill Country police car doing in Texas City? And he thought for a minute. He said, yeah, I remember that. And I said, well, here's your answer. I said, what? Think about it. Why, if someone, a police station, a police car from the Hill Country up around Austin, I can't remember what police department it was, but it was down here. And I think what Eric and Eric told me what they're trying to do is get everybody set up around here so they can take, you know, the practicing for what's fixing to come, and so they can clean up the aftermath. So, yeah. Yeah, and there's been a lot of weird, you know, and that confirmed that right there to me. Like I say, I just found this out since I talked to you. And as a matter of fact, I told Eric to call you if he was listening to the show or whatever, and I didn't get on the show telling, you know, somebody come bail me out. But apparently, yeah. But anyways, what I did last night, and I would encourage every listener out there that is, I know there's people listening in the Houston area. There are a couple of you that emailed me. Google, I don't have the web address right now. If you can Google Galveston County Daily News, that's Galveston County Daily News, and send, there's an old boy out there that I have been conversing with since I found out about all this 9/11 stuff. The editor out there is T.J. Alds.
Okay.
Now, T.J. thinks I'm a nut.
All right.
He thinks I'm one of these conspiracy theorists. He thinks, you know, I'm wacko because... he's actually quit corresponding with me because I sent him so much information. So if everyone could go out there, and I mean, I don't care where you live in Houston. If you live in Houston, if you live in Timbuktu, if you live anywhere, get a hold of the Galveston County Daily News and blitz them, and let's get the awareness raised. He knows, because I sent him the information. I sent him the link so he can download and listen to your program yesterday. So
now, after you gave them this information, did they? What else happened to you? Did they take? Did they talk to you? I mean, they left you sitting there.
Well, now, yeah. Well, I was sitting there, but they come back out and talk to me. But this is what happened last night. I gave that disc of the interview to that cop friend of mine, and asked him to look into it, and if he had anybody in FBI or anything, he could talk to him. You know, of course, all cops know FBI guys and whatever. He said, yeah, I'll do it. Well, apparently, it's shaken him up enough. It's shaken them up enough to where when I went in there, they already knew about it. They're already working on it. Now, what are they working on? I don't know. But I have, you know, apparently, and I've blitzed, I've everybody around here, Houston Chronicle, TV stations, KHOU, KPRC, everybody in Houston, of course, you're not going to get any response back from them. But I think if enough people blitzed them and maybe put some pressure on them and start asking questions, they won't see this as just one kook or something like that and maybe look into something.
Well, you know, this goes back a ways. I mean, this scenario goes back to last August, and I was trying to alert people back then of the possibilities, and you know, you never can be sure where they're going to hit next. But I think it's imperative that we, you know, better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And you know, your efforts are uncovering some things that are irregular. I wanted to ask. I just got an email from Captain May, by the way, who just mentioned to me that he'd received information after the broadcast yesterday that the Houston Police Department is rehearsing nuclear incident drills. That's another. Go ahead.
He told me about that when I was talking to him. Yeah,
Let me just mention this to our listeners and to you. Now, there are other things that are on the radar screen now that are showing there's an imminent disaster coming up shortly in our country. And let me tell you why this story I think is very important. And I verified this and actually talked with a Bank of America branch manager in Irvine, California, and then another resident of Houston. Now, listen to this story. It had been circulating that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Bank of America and certain other big banks, the Compass banks, were being visited by Homeland Security and being briefed on how to handle customers, basically how to handle customers during an impending disaster. And basically what they were being told was that nothing should be taken out of, given to customers of silver, gold, or any type of weapons out of their safety deposit boxes, and that only certain paperwork was to be given to them. Now, this general story circulated, and apparently Homeland Security was visiting these bank managers and telling them not to say anything to anybody, but they're giving them instructions on how to handle customers during an impending disaster. Now, what I found out was interesting, talked to actually a branch manager in Irvine, California. Now, why California? They were in California. He basically verified this, that Homeland Security was in his bank doing what I just said, instructing them how to do that, and telling them not to tell anybody. Then a person from Houston picked up this story, and he actually went into a Houston branch of Bank of America and asked the cashier if this was going on, asked the person there, the manager, if this was going on. They verified it was going on in Houston 2 weeks ago, and that they were told not to tell anybody about it. So, you know, anytime you hear these kind of rumblings and then you get it verified, why are they going to these banks in these cities, Houston being one, L.A. being another? Is that the area they're targeting? You have to ask yourself that, wouldn't you, John?
It could be. And a matter of fact, you said that, and I meant to have my wife talk to her sister. I got a sister that works. She's been a bank teller for years and years and years with Johnson Federal Credit Union. You know, the Johnson Space Center Federal Credit Union. So I'm sure they would have visited down around here if that's the case. And I will check into that.
And what I wanted to mention, any of our listeners, and when you go into your banks, ask Bank of America, other banks, ask if this has been going on in your community, or are they just targeting certain communities? The more we know, the better we are. 800-313-9443 if you want to call in and talk to John Watkins from Texas City, Texas. John, you took this warning seriously, acted on it. What do you think about Captain May? I know there's going to be some people who may say, oh, well, you know, don't believe what he says. But go ahead. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a pretty good judge of character. I can, you know, when I meet someone or talk to them, I can immediately tell if I'm going to like that person or not, or if they're an a-hole.
Okay.
And I've got pretty good discernment. I believe he's above board. He is telling the truth. You know, he wants to actually save lives. You know, in my personal opinion, the guy is not a fraud. He's not a kook. He's not a wacko. He's doing what he thinks best to, you know, keep us from dying down here, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, here we are, and you know, you're going to get in this kind of world that we live in now, when we start talking about these things, when you have an enemy within your own government, and it can be shown by beyond a reasonable doubt that they brought about 9/11, you can expect anything from them. One thing you can't expect also is that, for example, people like Eric May, there are always going to be people that say, oh, he's not telling the truth. He's on their side. He's not on their side. What I'm trying to tell listeners is this. That's not important anymore. You know that's going to happen. They're going to say that about everybody. And somehow, some way, somebody's been infiltrated to just destroy any type of truth that's going to come out. What I say is throw it up against the wall and let it all pan out. Because I'll tell you, it's better to be safe, better to get the information out. Whether it can't be 100% verified, nothing can be 100% verified, then to hide it and then to have 9/11 happen all over again without any knowledge. And I think he's right in stating that, you know, you must try to take the attack to them in every way possible when you realize you've walked over that line and realized who the enemy really is. And
I just wanted to reiterate, you know, for the listeners out there that think, you know, well, a nuclear attack ain't going to happen. I blitzed out probably 1,000 emails last night, probably about 500 to my emailing list from my websites, my followers. I got a ministry on the internet, plus you know, anti-government, if you want to call it whatever, website. But I blitzed it out, and plus some of these other ones that are in no. And I got an interesting email back from one of them. I'm not going to say who it is. I don't know if I told you this morning or not.
No, you didn't. Go ahead. I'll be interested in hearing.
Well, and you probably remember. I don't know. I guess somebody told Eric. Anyways, I sent this email out and got a response back this morning, and it flabbergasted me. You know, just told them the situation down here and to see if they could, you know, rustle the bushes a little bit there and, you know, drum up me some information. Well, he said to me that the actual hot date, now whether this is true or not, I don't know. The actual hot date was around December 23rd to the 29th, 6 weeks ago, and they confiscated, bought what he called one big bird and one little bird at the border. Now, which border? I do not know whether it's Canadian border, Mexican border. I do not know. And he said, and I don't know if he meant they were destined for here or where, but he said that's all he was going to say. I emailed him back. I have not got a response back from him about, you know, should I boogie out of Texas City or not. But that would be an interesting tidbit. I mean, this guy's in the know. If I mentioned his name, probably most of your listeners would recognize the name and who he's associated with, but I'm not going to because, you know, I told him I wouldn't say a word. So take okay. That.
So. What's that?
I say take that. Your listeners can take that for what they may, but apparently somebody stopped two nuclear warheads from coming in this country.
Doesn't surprise me. We'll be back, our final segment, with John Watkins, a concerned resident in Texas City, Texas. All right, John Watkins from Texas City, Texas, concerned citizen regarding what may be going on behind the scenes at the British Petroleum plant. What's that place like, John? I never did the British Petroleum plant there. Is it a rundown place, or what's going on there?
Well, matter of fact, Greg, it's ironic you said that because I was going to mention something about that. They got that plant shut down right now completely.
Okay.
They brought steam online. They brought it back up here a few weeks ago. But OSHA, I mean, there's all kinds of fires happening because, you know, old pipes and stuff. Greg, I used to work out there. I got out of that place because, I mean, pipes were thin, wore out. I mean, just old rusty, falling down stuff you would not believe. I'm really surprised the thing hasn't blown up to begin with. But it OSHA come shut them down completely. I think it was like 3 or 4 days after they tried to bring the plant back up because they was having so many problems with it.
Yeah, what a way to get rid of it, huh?
Well, yeah, and matter of fact, Eric brought up an interesting point that seems how, of course they do what's called turnarounds. They do maintenance every year around this time of year. He said, you know, and this is kind of ironic, you know, that plant is so old and dilapidated, what a better way to get rid of it like they did the Twin Towers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's that Twin Towers was a dinosaur they were trying to get rid of in many different ways.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this may be another one.
Because they're trying to, you know, it cost them about, I think it was right, anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion to build a new unit. So, I mean, and rumor has it that the chemical side down here has been sold to Valero. If any of your listeners out there know Valero, there it looks like they're an up and coming. I haven't looked into them who owns them, but they're up and coming. And rumor has it that this plant here that is shut down that the blast happened at is being bought out by Valero. That's just rumors. I don't know if that's true or not.
Now, have you talked to any other residents down there that are concerned?
Got a lot of residents. Of course, all my family. Some of them think I'm nuts. Some of them don't. I got several friends. Matter of fact, I've made a bunch of discs of your show yesterday, and you know, got them passed out. You know, cops got them. Just a bunch of people have them. We're trying to get the word out and tell as many people. I've got a nephew that listens to your show and other shows, and.
Now you did see some Homeland Security cars down there?
No, I didn't see Homeland Security. I saw all kinds of different cop cars from different cities. We actually have a Homeland Security officer here in Texas City.
Oh, okay.
We got a population. I mean, we're a pretty big city. I guess 55, 60,000 now. I don't remember. It used to be about, when I moved here 20 years ago, it was like 45,000. It's grown pretty big. So apparently they think this is big enough to, you know, kill enough people to get an outrage going against Iran, I guess.
Well, you know something? I sure hope that nothing happens. It's better to be safe than sorry, and I appreciate your efforts and your concern. And, John, keep in touch with us. Keep digging, and I'll keep in touch with you off the air. And thanks for being with us.
All right, great. Thanks a lot. I'll keep in touch with you.
Okay, that was John Watkins from Texas City, Texas. We're all out of time.